Mother's Day means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And Mother's Day, as you saw in the video, is not always a joyous day. It can be a hard day, a difficult day for many. And when I saw that video, I thought he talks about just about everything and every situation. The young man that did the spoken word video there is actually the collegiate minister at Kirby Woods Baptist Church. And he's heading off to do some new ministry, and I wanted to be sure you got to see that beautiful video there that he put together. I want to ask for just a moment for all of our moms to please stand. All of our moms. All right. And I know you guys deserve a round of applause this morning. So. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you so much. I want to encourage you today when the service is over. Either children, if your children are here with you, they can come and get you a carnation at the front before you leave today. Or if your children aren't here, you just come and get one. There's one for everybody. Just remember, we have another service coming, so don't take a bunch of them. You know, take one. So glad to be able to honor motherhood today. I don't always talk about Mother's Day on Mother's Day. Although I think it's kind of expected, and preaching about women is something that I do with fear and trembling because I'm a man. And today I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to preach to the women here today from Proverbs 31. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. It seems to me when I read Proverbs 31 that a woman that would read that chapter could easily get discouraged. Because the standard that we read there for godly women is so high. And the woman described in that chapter is like supermom, right? Or superwoman, if you will. And she just does it all. And so today I don't want anyone leaving here discouraged. And so, ladies, I want you to know that I believe that the only way that you can begin to get close to what you read about in Proverbs 31 is simply to fall deeply in love with Christ. And as you do that, then He will live out Proverbs 31 in you and through you. This is not a list of things to read and to feel bad about because you fall short. Just know that your only job is to let Christ do that in you. Let Christ do that through you. And this morning, and Kim was here at last night's service. She'll be in the nursery later, so she's not present in this service, nor will she be in the second service, but she's heard this. I want to dedicate the message today to my wife because I am married to a Proverbs 31 woman. Being a pastor's wife is not easy. The expectations on a pastor's wife are unending. When we were in seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, when we first arrived there, I began to look for opportunities to preach. And there was one church in Corsicana, Texas, about an hour or so south of where we lived. And I got in contact with them, and they kept calling us week after week to come down on Sunday. And I would preach on Sunday morning. We would spend Sunday afternoon at Mazio's Pizza. And then I would preach again on Sunday night. And this went on for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. And so we're beginning to wonder, well, do they want us to be their pastor? Do they not? What's the situation, you know? And so I'll never forget, after 4 or 5 weeks of this, and if you know, Corsicana, Texas is the fruitcake capital of the world. And I mean like literal fruitcakes, all right? And so one Sunday night after we had been there all day and I'd preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, the chairman of their pastor search committee came out and he had a Corsicana fruitcake in his hand. And so we figured at that point, this is coming to an end. And so he walks up with it with his fruitcake, and he looks directly at Kim, and he says, "Honey, you go get you some piano lessons, and we appreciate y'all coming down here." And so I say that, y'all don't think that's funny. To us, it was very funny. That the expectation that they had on the pastor's wife is that she would be a piano player. And if you don't realize that the expectations on a pastor's wife are great. And through the years, with all of those expectations and all of the misunderstandings that go around a pastor's family and a pastor's wife, she has handled all of that with total grace. And she has taken the very special gifts that God has given her, and she has released those in every place that God has led us and ministered to people with joy and stood behind me at every turn and given every part of herself with all that she has to ministering to me and to our family and to the churches where we've been. And so I want to dedicate this message to her. And so if you guys have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31, and I want you to begin by looking at verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies?" An incredible, incredible verse there. When it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife," it's literally saying here, who can find one of these? Now that tells me that a man who finds a virtuous wife, a man who finds a good wife, has found something that is beyond riches. It tells me that it's very rare. One older man, after 60 years of marriage, stood up at a banquet and he said, "I wouldn't give $1 million for this woman," speaking of his wife. And then he said, "But I wouldn't give you a dime for another one just like her." Marriage that lasts a long time is beautiful. I love to hear Brother Aubrey King, who's here this morning, and he doesn't know I'm going to say this, but I love to hear you, Brother Aubrey, talk about your wife and your marriage. And when he does, he gets emotional about it. And it's obvious that after all those years of marriage, I have a feeling that he would not trade Miss King for any amount of money. At least most days, right? He wouldn't trade her. The value of that wife, and I think about, again, about my wife and her value to me and the ministry and her friendship, that's so great that you just can't put a dollar amount on it. And that's what this writer is saying here. This verse is saying at the end of the day, if you find that virtuous wife, you have found something that is priceless. And so as you move on in this chapter, the writer just lists all of the things that she does. And if you read through the chapter, it's really overwhelming, the expectations on this godly woman. And again, it's not my desire to cause anyone to feel discouraged, because this woman is superwoman. And so what I want to do is I want to jump to verse 25, and I want to talk about where he begins to summarize her life. And I want to give you four things today very quickly that I want us to see about the godly woman. All right, so if you're taking notes, ladies especially, here's number one. What marks the godly woman? Strength and dignity are her clothing. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Look at verse 25. It says, "Strength and honor." Some of your translations will say dignity there. "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." Now, by using the word clothing here, he brings to mind outward appearance. But then when he describes this woman, he uses the term strength and honor, or strength and dignity are her clothing. And so he's saying that when you look at her, what stands out, what strikes you, is not physical beauty. Though she may be physically beautiful, that's not what strikes you about the godly woman. And so when you look at this passage, and God here is lining out for us a picture of the ultimate woman, and if we have single guys or single men here today, really what you ought to be looking for, notice here that not one time does he talk about physical beauty. He says, here's the picture of the woman of God. When he talks about what clothes her, he talks not about physical beauty, but about character. What's on the inside? And he says it's strength and it's dignity. The word dignity there literally means that she's poised. She's graceful. The word strength there indicates her confidence. And so if I were speaking today to single guys, single men, and we'll have more of them in the second service, I would say when you're looking for a wife, you are looking first, the Bible says, for character. As the Bible's clear, it says, and we know this is true, that all flesh is as grass, right? It fades away. And so when you marry men, young men, when you are looking for a wife, you are looking for character above all. You see, if you go for character first, the attraction that you'll have for the heart of that woman will birth an even greater physical attraction as time goes on. Unfortunately, don't you think that we get this backwards in our society today? Don't you think most men, when looking for a a woman or when looking for a wife, look first for physical attraction and then just hope that she's a woman of character, right? But the Bible says that we need to look, men, for a woman of God. I saw a great quote this week about what makes a great marriage. And it went like this. When two people are more in love with Jesus than they are with each other. When two people are more in love with Jesus than they are with each other, that's the secret to a great marriage. And so guys, if you find a girl that's more in love with Jesus than she is you, then you found a great treasure. Because her love for you will then be birthed and it will grow out of her love for Jesus. If, however, she is more in love with you than she is with Jesus, listen to what Tommy Nelson said about that. Now, and I'm really not saying this to be funny. I'm quoting a pastor here. And he says, if you find a woman that's more in love with you than she is with Jesus, then you are marrying yourself a little piece of hell right here on earth. I wish he would just say what he thinks, right? He would just be honest. And if you don't think that that's true, there are lots of testimonies around from those that are married and have been married to unbelievers that will tell you how difficult that is when Christ is not the center of that relationship. So you are looking for character, men. The first characteristic here of the superwoman, if you will, is that you look at her and you see strength and dignity. It's built around her character. And it goes on to say that she shall rejoice in time to come. It literally means she smiles at the future. She looks ahead to the future fondly and positively. And she is poised about what is coming. All right? So that's number one, strength and dignity are her clothing. Number two, wisdom and kindness are on her tongue. Wisdom and kindness are on her tongue. Look at verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It says here, when she speaks, that wisdom and kindness come out. Now, can you imagine if that is all we ever spoke, was wisdom and kindness? If that's all that ever came out of our mouths, wisdom and kindness. Well, we'd be in good shape, right? If that's the only thing, the only way we ever talked. And so he says here that the godly woman speaks wisdom and kindness into the lives of others. But I'm afraid that far too often as individuals, we'd be better off keeping our mouths shut. Amen? Because we don't always speak that way. You know, the Bible talks to us about our words. And I want you to hold your place there in Proverbs 31 and turn back to Matthew chapter 12. Turn a few books over into the New Testament. First book of the New Testament. And look at Matthew chapter 12. We'll put it on the screen for you as well. And verse 36. And just take a look at the words that Jesus has to say here about our words. And this is intimidating, but it's so important that we understand it. He says, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. And so clearly here, the Bible indicates that there's coming a day when we will all stand before God and give an account of every single word that comes out of our mouths. Now, isn't that frightening, isn't it? To think about that. Gossip, slander, that frustrated remark that we make that we wish we'd not said, the stuff that we don't think out, every loose and crude word that we might speak, the Bible says one day we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of those words. You go back and you read verse 26 again in Proverbs 31, and when it says that what she speaks is wisdom and kindness, what if that could be said about all of us? What if it could be said about all of us that what comes out of our mouths is simply wisdom and kindness toward other people? Proverbs here says that the woman of God, when she speaks, is full of wisdom and full of kindness. Okay, the third mark of a godly woman here, she looks well to the ways of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household. Look at verse 27. Go back to Proverbs 31 and look at verse 27. Here's what it says. It says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now that literally means when it says that she looks well there, what that literally means is that she is leaning forward, she's leaning into, she is putting her focus on the ways of her family. Now, what's interesting when you study the word ways there, what that literally means are the long distance paths of her family. Now, I believe that that is very significant, because what this verse is actually saying is that she is focused, she's leaning into, she's focusing on the long distance paths of her family. Now, that's significant. She's paying attention to what is down the road, the long distance paths of her children and of her family. She's looking ahead. She's watching where her family is going so that she can help navigate the potholes that are coming. She can help keep her family out of the ditches of life. Now, I believe and I feel like it as a man, as a husband, that it is my job to lead in a godly way. And I believe that God put that desire in me. He made men that way. He gave us that command, guys, to lead in love, loving our wives. But I want you to know I am so glad to have a wife that is looking down the road with me. Amen? I'm glad to have a wife that's helping me to navigate the long paths of my family. You see, this woman that's described here is not just in the moment. She doesn't just dwell in the past or even simply in the present. She is looking ahead, because she wants a good outcome for her family. And I think one of the ways that the godly woman does this is in her prayer life. I believe that she prays proactively for her family. My wife keeps a prayer journal. And I mean, she is faithful with it. It is every single day. She is writing down her prayers to God in that journal. And you know what? I've never read it except the places where she's asked me to read it. And I would imagine that if I went to her prayer journal and I cracked it open and I began to read, it wouldn't just be about her needs. It wouldn't just be about everyday needs. And I asked her last night, but it is full of prayers for the future of our children, and full of prayers for the future of our marriage, and full of prayers for my spiritual growth and leadership and for our church. She is praying proactively. She is looking through the long paths of our family. And so that's an example, I think, of what it means to lean into and to focus on those long distance paths. It also says here that she does not eat the bread of idleness. I think what that means is that you can't do this. You can't focus on the long paths of your family if you are wasting time, if there's idle time there. Prayer is work. Focus takes time and thought. And this woman that's described here in Proverbs 31 is busy at that. She's on it for her family. She's leveraging everything that she can in her life for the future of her children and her family. And then finally, the fourth characteristic of the godly woman here, and probably the most important of all, is that she fears the Lord above all else. She fears the Lord above all else. Look at verse 31. Verse 30, rather, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is what? Passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be what? She shall be praised. So he sums up the whole thing here, and it's not that charm is bad, but if that's what you're shooting for, it says here, you'll be deceived by that. And then he says, beauty is passing. Literally the word there is the word vain. Beauty is vain. The word vain literally means worthless. And so if you read this in the Hebrew, it would say beauty is worthless. Beauty is without worth. Pursuing beauty in the context of the woman of God is worthless. Now, does that mean that beauty pageants and trying to look nice is wrong and sinful? I don't think that that's what that means. But I want to say to you, here's the truth, is that we have flipped this idea on its head when it comes to the way we view women in today's world. Who do we praise today in our world when it comes to women? What is it that society applauds and gives attention to when it comes to women and young ladies today? I'll tell you what it is. It's physical beauty. And I want to say to you that God says that that is without worth in the big picture. That is without worth. And I want to tell you what, if you don't believe me, all you have to do is walk up to a checkout counter at Walmart or at Kroger, and you will see the little altar that's set up there in honor of physical appearance. Because it's on every magazine, it's on the front of every single paper. And I believe that God would say to our society, you guys listen, that we should stop worshiping what does not matter and stop raising little girls with self-image issues because we buy the lie of Satan that says physical beauty is of the highest value when God says that it has no value. Charm is deceitful and beauty, it says, is without worth. Then he goes on to say what is beautiful, what is valuable, what is important is a woman that fears the Lord, for she shall be praised. The woman that praises, the woman that the Lord praises is the one that fears Him. She's the one that you cannot put a price tag on. So ladies, I want to conclude today by asking you to consider something. What would be more honoring to you at the end of your life for your husband to say, "She sure was pretty"? Or would it be better for verse 28 and 29 to happen? Look at what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." So what would be better at the end of your life for your husband to say, "She sure was pretty"? Or for your children to rise up and say, "There are some things about my mother that you need to know. She was poised and strong. She was always speaking wisdom and kindness into our lives. She looked out for my life and where I was headed. And she loved Christ more than she loved anything else." And then for your husband to say, when it's all said and done, "There have been a lot of good women. There have been a lot of good wives. But there has been no one better than you." And so today, to the ladies, I would say, as you fall deeply in love with Jesus, these verses that we've looked at today are indeed your goal, and I would say your destination, as Christ and Christ only lives that out in you and in your life. And so today, I wouldn't want anybody to leave discouraged and say, "You know what? I don't match up to this." Well, you know what? I don't think anybody can match up to Proverbs 31. But what I want to say to you is that as you connect yourself to Jesus and as you live close to Him, as you take actions toward loving Him and being in relationship with Him, these are the things that He will desire to do in your life. Amen? All right, let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today for the beauty of your word and, Lord, the way it has spoken to us this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you today especially for all of the ladies in this room today and young ladies that are here today. And Lord, thank you that you are calling each one of them out to be the special woman of God that's described here in this passage. And God, thank you for so many that are already so much like this. Lord, I thank you for my wife and the mom and the woman that she is. Lord, I thank you for those in this congregation that are turned toward you, that are fearing you and loving you. And Father, I pray today that each one of us would be firmly convicted that it is only by your work in us that we can be what you want us to be. So, Father, today I pray during this time of invitation, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. And, Father, if there are decisions today that need to be made, Lord, that you would give us courage to do that. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to trust Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to know today that you are the only way that their sins can be forgiven. And, Father, that they would come to you today in joy and in full commitment of their lives to you. Father, I pray today that there are others that need to become a part of this congregation, Father, that you would call them out to do that, that you would bring their gifts to bear in this congregation as we do what you want us to do. And so, Father, bless our time today. May we use this time to give ourselves fresh and new to you, to surrender to you everything that we are. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.